Amen. Roy, I appreciate that. I want to preach a little bit on that this morning. And Roy, and he's always been honest. I like Roy because he's honest. Sometimes too honest. Okay, but he's honest. He's honest about himself. He had to face himself one day, years ago, staring in a mirror, looking at a drunk, and he didn't like it. And he got honest with himself about who he is, what he is, and so on. And if you ask Roy today, Roy, do you think you'd like to take another drink? He'd say, yeah. And some days are worse than others. But God brings him through. And he was battling with that here recently. And he's battled with it before. He always tells me that he's having a hard time. And I pray for him. And you know what? If God can make that man honest, what can he do with us? Who, if we were to be honest, we would go back. We feel like every now and then we want to go back. But God put something in us to realize that we really don't want to go back. There's a reason why God brought us out of that stuff to begin with. Amen? Amen. Appreciate that, Roy. Everybody, I want you to take your Bible and turn to two places. Psalm 78 and then Romans chapter 1. Psalm 78 and Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read some of the verses in Romans 1. I'm going to put them up on the screen. And then when we get to Psalm 78, I don't have them listed on the screen. I want you to open your Bible and turn to it, okay? I did just some study. I was blessed last night just going through the chapter of Psalm 78 and looking at everything God had to say in it. And boy, it was powerful. It really was. I started last Sunday morning preaching or just kind of teaching on the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Does the wrath of God happen? Now I want to ask just anybody here, maybe even some of our young people, if you just want to raise your hand and answer it. Can you think of a story in the Bible where God was angry and he poured out wrath upon a group of people? Can you think of a story? Sodom and Gomorrah is one of them. Where is Sodom and Gomorrah today, by the way? It's gone. There is no remnant of it. Yes, yes. Adam and Eve. Yeah, he was angry with them. Where God poured out his wrath and just destroyed people. Yes, Jared.
The days of Moses when they were in the wilderness.
Days of Moses when they were in the wilderness. That is what Psalm 78 is going to talk about. They were God's own people. If you think God will spare you because you go to church, you're wrong. Okay? Yes, Matt. The flood. Noah's flood. Okay? The Bible says that the wickedness of man was in his thoughts all the time. Okay? It was all thoughts about just being wicked and sinful against Almighty God. God had to destroy them. Sodom and Gomorrah, Jericho, Nineveh. Okay? God was going to pour out his wrath on Nineveh, but what did Nineveh do? They repented and God spared them from that. Okay? So the question is, and I brought this up last week, some people say, well, God is love, God won't do anything, and so on and so forth. There are earthly examples of the truth of the fact that God will pour out His wrath, His anger. The Bible calls it His hot displeasure. When you get good and mad at something or somebody, God or somebody else, or you may pour out your wrath or your anger on that person. So, does God love everybody? Yes, He loved everybody so much that He sent His only Son down, His only begotten Son, to be a substitute in your place for the death penalty. That's what God did. That's how much God loves you. But God is also a just judge, which means God does not let anybody get away with anything they have done wrong. Nobody will. Not me, not you folks online, not you out in Kenya, anywhere in the world. God will not let, and it may look like you may be mad at somebody and they may sound like they're getting away with stuff. Trust me, God is writing everything down in a book. We know that from the book of Revelation. The books are open. Those are the things that they're going to be judged by. So everything that you've done wrong in your life is written down in a book. Those are charges that are against you that are waiting for the day of judgment. And they're not going away. The only hope that you have is that Christ's blood will cover every one of those things that are written in that book. And when that angel opens that book, I see nothing in here, Lord. It is like he has never sinned a day in his life. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Romans chapter 1. Y'all are a little bit happier than you were during Sunday school. I can tell that already. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I'm going to preach this morning, and I am not ashamed of what I'm going to say. Not ashamed of it. I love you. I love everybody here. Don't know some of you, but I love you. But I won't apologize for what I'm going to say because it's the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Greek is basically a term meaning all of us Gentiles. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to tell you something. You will never, from this day forward, you will never, ever, ever be able to use the excuse with God or man, I didn't know. Because I'm going to tell you today. Okay? I'm going to lay it out for you. You'll never be able to, if you came here or you're watching online, from this day forward, you will not be able to tell anybody, including God, in judgment, well, God, I never heard that. How can I be expected to know that when I didn't hear it? You heard it today. Okay? They're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now I want you to look at verse 23. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now we'll stop right here. You might be upset with me by the time I get done preaching today. Let me tell you why. Because what I'm going to say about God does not match the image that you have carved of God in your own mind. You think that God is going to let you get away with the things that you're doing in your life. That's what you think. You think maybe you were told that by somebody. Maybe you just dreamed up a God, because I believe in God, okay, but you believe and carved out an image of God in your mind that will let you live in sin and doing abominable things in God's presence and think that God is okay with it. That is not, your God is not the same God as what's in this book. Man always changes who God is and who his nature is. He always does. But God remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he does not change. If it was wrong 3,000, 4,000 years ago, it's wrong now. How would you like for somebody, while you're sitting here at church, to go in your place of where you live and steal everything you got? Take everything you've got and destroy your house. Would that be right? You know what the Bible says? Thou shalt not steal. God said that to Moses and to the Israelites some 3,000, 4,000 years ago. Did you know that that's still as viable today as it was back then? It's wrong to steal, is it not? We would get mad at judges and politicians who steal from the taxpayers. We would get upset as somebody over here stealing from Walmart, which is why they got to jack their prices up to pay for all the stuff that everybody stole over there. That would make us angry. If it's wrong then, it's wrong now. Amen? So they changed God. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That is, when you change what this Bible says about God into a god of your own imagination. You change the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature what you created more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And it's got an amen there, so I want to hear everybody say
amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I need your help to preach this message. I cannot do it. I cannot do it, Lord, outside of your grace, outside of your help, outside of your mercy on my life and upon the lives of these people. Father, I want to love the way you love. I want to give, Father, the way you give. I want to care about those who hear this today and where they're going to spend eternity. So, Father, help me to preach the truth. Help me to not be apologetic for it, but God, help me to do it in love the way you love this world. You love everybody sitting here. You love everybody that's listening online that will listen. You love everybody out there in Kenya. You love us, every one of us, the same way. God, I only wish that I could love people that way, but you do. And so, Father, you're going to preach the same message to every person's hearing, whether they want to hear it or not. And I pray, dear God, that we would understand that, yes, you are a God of love. But, God, you have wrath, you have justice, and you will have mercy to those who desire it. Some people just don't. So, Father, bless your word this morning. Help me to preach it. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. In case you don't believe in God's wrath, I went through these verses last week, kind of laid the foundation of how God pours out his wrath upon people. And I had this in my mind, if you believe in cops, believe in God. Amen, Cubby. Turn to Romans 13. I want to show you something. Usually, every time I see somebody in law enforcement, Roy, I appreciate what you said. I had not heard that, but apparently two police officers lost their lives yesterday. They're still with us, but they got ambushed, right? And I'll tell you what, those guys who are going out there armed with guns and whatever they've got to protect us, they're worthy of double honor. Can I hear you say amen? And listen, I believe, and you listen to me, those of you in Bethel Church, I better not ever find out that you got pulled over and you got snippy with some cop. That wasn't an amen, that was just a giggle. That was a nervous laugh. That guy pulls you over, God told him to pull you over. It might make you mad because you didn't think he was doing anything wrong or whatever. But if you'll treat him with respect, he will treat you likewise. And if he doesn't, he thinks he's getting away with something, and God won't let him. I promise you, his end will come one of these days. Amen? Okay, I know there's bad cops out there, but 99% of them have it in their mind that they are going to keep our towns, our cities, our highways safe, and we need them out there. Let me show you what God, and I tell these guys this, if I meet them, like at the gas station in the morning, or they'll come over here and they'll talk about little things. And I say, look, did you know the Bible calls you a minister of God? And I was talking to a Festus police officer one time. He said, no. I said, Romans 13, you go read it. The Bible calls you a minister of God. Look what it says. Verse 3, Romans 13. For rulers are not a terror to good works. If you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Amen? Amen. These cops pull these people over, and they see them in the car shaking. They see them in the car. They are always watching them, shoving stuff under the seat. Can I search your car? Well, sure you can, I guess. Is there anything in here that shouldn't be there? Well, not as far as I know. That's a lie. And they know it. If you hadn't done anything wrong, you ain't got nothing to be afraid of. Amen. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
These guys that are patrolling, going around neighborhoods at night while you're asleep, shining their lights down dark alleys, shining them in stores, pulling people over, knowing that certain people out at certain times of the night doing certain things, it doesn't look right, so they're going to get pulled over. They're going to find a reason. They're going to pull them over. And more than likely, they'll be drunk or they'll have drugs in their system or whatever, and they need to be taken off the road. Or they'll kill somebody you know. They'll run over somebody you know. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
That's their job. He is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. And you can see it. You see it in them. Them cops, they know how to read people. They can, sometimes they can see their heart pumping through their veins like this. Man, your heart's racing 100 miles an hour. What's the matter with you? I ain't nothing wrong. I ain't got nothing in the seat. They'll just, their mind's just busting to tell what they did. Amen. For he, listen to this, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. You know what the sword is? That's that sidearm he's got. And I've watched these guys. They pull these state patrol guys, or whatever, when they pull a guy over, they've been trained. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. They've been trained. They walk up that car, hand, right here. Why? They don't know what's coming out of that car. They have no idea what's coming out of that car. And every cop knows, and he pulls somebody over, he's taking a chance on him getting his brains blowed out. And he bears not that sword in vain. Let me tell you what the Bible says in Genesis 9. Right after Noah and them came off the ark into a new world, God laid down certain laws that would get them by until he gave his Sinai law. And he told Noah, he said, make sure if any man's blood is spilled by another man, by man's hand, that man's blood should be shed. God instituted the death penalty. Amen. For people that killed other people. And if you've got a guy going around town shooting people right and left, and that cop comes on him, and he pulls his gun, that cop has the absolute right, not only by the laws of the state of Missouri, but the law of God's mouth, he has the absolute right of blowing that man's head off and putting him down on the ground and killing him. Do you believe that? Listen, I told you I was going to tell you what this book said, and I'm not going to apologize for it either. Let me tell you about the crowd that does not respect civil authority in police officers. That crowd is the same crowd that has carved out a God in their mind that will not judge them for their wickedness. They think that they can do whatever they feel like doing and get away with it, and nobody should mess with them. Same crowd. He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. What do we call it? When a guy's being held down here in Potosi, he's on death row, and he finally has his day, the governor is not going to save his life. What do we call that? We call it an execution. It is an execution of the laws of the state of Missouri, the law of God himself, that if the law, the judge determined that man should have his life taken away, then by all means, his life should be taken away. And if you don't believe that, here's your problem right here. If you don't believe that, then you have carved out in your mind a government that has no authority, number one, and number two, a God that does not judge you and execute wrath on you for the things that you've done. You've got a different God than the God of this Bible. Can I hear God's people say amen? Now I want you to turn to Psalm 78. Did you turn there a while ago? Now here's what we're going to do. If you've got a pen or a highlighter, Psalm 78 has 72 verses in it. I'm just mean enough, I'm going to read all of them. Here's what I want you to do. When we get to a place in Psalm 78 where it lists some of Israel's sins, you can just underline that or use a highlighter and highlight it. When it gets to a place in Psalm 78 where it shows about how good God is. And by the way, the execution of a death sentence in the state of Missouri has an automatic appeals process. Now, some may not like that, but here's what I think. I think if we as the people are going to execute and take away somebody's life, I think we ought to be sure that they actually did it. Isn't that fair enough? I think we ought to be sure that they actually... You know what that is? That's mercy. That's long-suffering. As you see where God executed his wrath and his vengeance on his own people, His own people. Would it be fair if God judged the rest of the world without judging those who sit in church pews? Did you know in 1 Peter chapter 4 that it says that judgment must begin at the house of God first, then the rest of the world? Wouldn't be fair, would it? So those of you who think churches are full of hypocrites and they're all a bunch of stealing, conniving, adulterating weirdos inside that church, and you won't have anything to do. He's going to go after his own people first. So get ready. I'm going to take me a big drink of water because it's going to take a while. And we're going to read Psalm 78, all 72 verses, because I think there's power in God's Word. Amen. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, that means all the Jews, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of His anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He's talking about the destroying angel that killed all the first. He made a way to His anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, and the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made His own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And He brought them to the border of His sanctuary, even to this mountain which His right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to their tents. He's talking about God letting them have Canaan land. There was already people living there. God put them out and destroyed them and let His people live in that land. Look at verse 56. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not His testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked Him to anger with their high places and moved Him to jealousy with their graven images. Remember that? They carved out a God that would let them steal, that would let them commit adultery and fornication. They carved out a God that didn't require worship on, let's say, the Sabbath day. They worked on the Sabbath day. They carved out a God that would let them kill one another. They carved out a God that would let them rebel against their mother and their father. They carved out a God so that they could take the real God's name in vain. That's what they did. Verse 59, when God heard this, He was wroth. There's that wrath again. And greatly abhorred Israel, so that He forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which He had placed among them, and delivered His strength into captivity and His glory into the enemy's hand. He gave His people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with His inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. And He smote His enemies in the hinder parts and put them to a perpetual reproach. You know what that means? That people all over the world throughout the ages would always hate and despise the Jews. And it's still going on today. This Bible's right. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like high places, like the earth which he had established forever. And he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel at his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his bands. Now, I want you to look at me. In this chapter, by the way, there's power in the Word of God. Amen. I read this thing, and I guarantee you, if I didn't say another word today, that's going to bounce around in the hallways of your mind all day long. You may be saying, I have never read that before. I didn't know God was like that. I didn't know that God would do that even to His own people. He did, He would, and He still does. Because we can take everything Israel did wrong, we can apply it to the 21st century church in America right now. We can apply it to the 21st century church in Canada, because we got some Canadians watching. We've got some people in Australia that'll watch. We've got people sitting in Kenya right now that are watching me and hearing me preach this word. God will do it. We've got churches all over the world that have carved out a different God than what's in this Bible. God has been loving. God has been more than fair. He has always... By the way, when it rained last week, did it just rain on the church member's house? It rained on everybody's garden. Because God, the Bible says, God rains on the just and the unjust. When you ate at a restaurant this week, God was giving you food to eat and probably good food to eat. And yet you've turned your back and walked against Him for most of your life, if not all of your life. That was God's heir. He's the one that made it. He's the one that put it here. That sunshine out there, that's God's sunshine. He caused it to shine down on a day like this. We've been cooped up all winter long. Now we're going out enjoying the breeze and enjoying the warm air and enjoying the sun. And God gave that to it. Did you know that it's night on the other part of the earth? It's night in Kenya right now. But guess what's going to happen in a few hours? It's going to shine daylight on them too. God is long-suffering and merciful and cares about everybody in the world. And let me tell you, after reading this, if you think that God will let you get away with all the things in life that you're trying to get away with, God won't even let His own people get away with it. So if God would let us, why would He let you? Amen? When I was a boy, we were down in Arkansas where my grandparents and my aunt and uncle lived. And we had a cousin named Debbie, and we used to like to go on walks down the sidewalk and walk around the neighborhood and see people's houses and stuff like that. And one time, me and Melissa and Debbie, we went down the walkway, down the sidewalk, down the road, and went down this street and was just walking around down there. And on the way back, I came back and I saw some boys. I've told this story. I saw some boys with an anchor, a fishing anchor, tied to a string, and they were throwing it up in the air out in the street. Well, I wanted to show off and impress what a Missouri boy could do, so I thought, I'm going to show them I can throw this thing higher than they can. So I took that thing. I said, can I try? Sure. And I took that thing and I throw that thing in the hand of God, pushed that thing in midair over into these people's houses, and they had one of those great big picture frame windows that was about this long and about this tall, and all I heard was crash. And as soon as I heard that, I took off running. And Melissa and Debbie's going, where's he going? I took off running. I went probably a quarter of a mile back to Meemaw's house, and I got there, and they was all sitting out in the yard. You know, they used to do that back then, all sitting out in the yard in the shade. And I run up to them like that, sweating and breathing hard. What's the matter? Nothing. What'd you do? I didn't do anything. like that. And directly a car pulled in the driveway because the boys told him where he ran off to. And they came down. They was pretty upset. And my mama told him, "Don't you worry. Number one, we'll pay for the window. And number two, I'll take care of my boy." Now, mama gave me the hardest whipping I think I've ever had. The whole time while Saint Meemaw was going, "Oh, Judy, don't hurt him. Oh, Judy, don't do this." And I know for a fact my Meemaw beat my dad silly sometimes with a switch. Here's what I'm saying. Did my mama have a right to do that to me? The neighbor wanted to do it, and I wasn't even their child. But they thought, they knew that I had done something wrong, and they knew that I had to pay for it. And since I didn't, and I never understood this phrase, I was told, "Well, you ain't got money to pay for it. Your mom's going to take it out of your hide." And I'm going, "I don't have anything in there." "Oh, you'll understand what I mean." And when I got that whipping, I understood exactly. If mama took it out of my hide. She loved me. But I did what was wrong. And I had to take the consequences for it. That's just here on earth. How many of you had a good mama? Raise your hand. Take a whip or a belt or a switch to you. Go out yard and cut a switch off a willow tree or something like that and lay stripes on your backside. That's not child abuse. I don't care what the liberals say. You know what they're doing? They're showing you the wrath of Almighty God. Every time a police officer takes somebody into custody and executes the sentence commensurate with their crime, they are showing you the wrath of Almighty God. They have a right to do it. Your mama has a right to do it. And God has every right in the world to do it because you are His creation. Let me show you. Here's what I did. I'm just going to run through this very quickly. And I'm going to show you in Psalm 78, out of these 72 verses here, I just spent time, and I tell you what, I enjoyed doing this. I spent time writing down, number one, God's blessing to them, and then number two, His wrath. It's the same, and what I have written up there is called the severity and the long suffering of God. Because God is love, is He not? God does care about you, and He does love you. I don't care what kind of sin you're involved in. According to the Bible, your sin is no worse than mine. Of course, you don't know what mine is. But I know some of yours, and their sin is no worse than yours. Amen? So let me run through this. This is His severity and His long suffering. Number one, God divided the sea. That means while Pharaoh was chasing them to killing them, God opened up a roadway in the sea, in the Red Sea, and opened that up so they could escape Him. And then what did He do? He closed it down on Pharaoh and got rid of their enemies. That's good. Amen. God led them with a cloud and fire. There has not been ever in the history of man a God leading His people with a cloud by day and a fire by night. It's the only one He's ever done it to. Only one. God brought water from a rock. Water doesn't come from a rock. Dirt does. Moses smote the rock according to the word of God, and water came gushing out of that, and they were filling themselves with that water, bathing in it, playing in it, letting their animals drink from it. They were thirsty, and there was no river, no creek, no spring, no well around, and God gave them water. God rained manna from heaven. You know what it was? It was some kind of little thing like a coriander seed, the Bible said, and it tasted like honey. And they would take, there was so much of it every morning that they could gather it up on day six and have enough to have on the Sabbath day so they would not violate the Sabbath day. They could gather 2 days worth up on the sixth day and have enough to eat the seventh day. And God, for 40 years, God gave them that manna from heaven every single day. How has God fed you? Have you not eaten every day? Huh? I can tell by looking at you. Every day and twice on Sundays. God gave you good food. And then when they got tired of eating bread, because they took the seed and they beat it down in a mortar with a pestle, and they made a bread out of it and baked it and ate it. When they got tired of bread, they complained against God because God was feeding them. Doesn't that sound like our kids nowadays? Come on, we fix this for supper.
Well, I don't want that. We had that 6 months ago.
So they did that to God, and God gave it. The Bible says the quails fell down from heaven like dust. And they ate quails. And this is real funny. You got to go read it. They ate quails so much that it started coming out their nose. The Bible literally says that. They were puking quail up because they were ate so much of it. And while it was in their teeth, they were complaining against God, and God got them. You stop and ask the question, when have you complained about what you didn't have, thinking you deserve it? And you complained in the face of Almighty God, who has been nothing but good to you. Listen, I guarantee you, there's 300, 400, 500 Kenyans watching me right now that would give everything they had to come and live in this country and have the abundance that we have in this country. How dare we complain? God forgave their sins. In fact, God forgave their sins one day, and then God forgave their sins the next day, and then God forgave their sins again. God kept forgiving them for things they had done wrong. What has He not forgiven you of? God showed them signs in Egypt. 10 plagues. The lice, the frogs. Did you know that it was so dark in Egypt that they couldn't even see the light of a candle? And just across the alleyway in the land of Goshen where the Israelites lived, it was pure daylight. And I don't know how God did that, but He did it. And they saw that. They saw the signs of God. And still they hated Him and they turned their back on Him. God cast out the heathen out of the way. As they were going into the land of Canaan, 10 of those spies came back and said, they're all giants, we can't go in there, they'll kill us all. Joshua and Caleb said, of course we can go in there. And God removed them out of that land and made the way for them to go into that land safely. But here's what God had to do to His own people. Number one, His fire was kindled against Jacob. He sent fire down from heaven. He slew the fattest and the chosen one. Because let me tell you what that means. It's usually the people who have the most who complain about what they don't have. I tell you what, God knows this, doesn't He? The American worker who for the most part has got it made. Do you know why your job went to Mexico and South Korea and all them other places? Because those people are glad to get a dollar an hour. Because they've never been paid that much money. And we won't work a lick until we're making $30, $35 an hour. The people who have the most usually are the ones who complain about what they don't have. And God slew those people. God gave them vanity and trouble all the days of their life. God forsook the tabernacle at Shiloh. I got a really neat teaching on that. Don't have time for it today. But here, Shiloh was the first capital of Israel, not Jerusalem. And God long-suffered with His people so long, and they sinned so much that God literally left them and destroyed the town of Shiloh. It would be like if we in this church kept despising God, and God finally left His presence from this place. And then next thing we know, the whole thing's burnt down with us in it. That's the wrath of Almighty God. He gave them over to their enemies. God would let the Philistines rule over them. Fire consumed their young men. Maidens remain unmarried. Now you listen to this. Maidens remain unmarried. Now I'm going to say this. You can be mad if you want to. One of the scourges and one of the great sins of the United States of America is our young ladies are birthing babies without a husband. You don't like that? I have to say what God says. Likewise, many of those young ladies become a burden to the United States government, because the government then has to use our tax-paid money to feed those babies, to clothe them, to provide them health care, to provide them daycare, to provide them a place to live. Now you're probably really hot, but it's the truth. I read this morning, one out of every five families in America, in that one family out of five, no one in the family, in the household, works. 20% of the households in America, nobody works. Where do they get their money? We had a family several years ago, if you remember this, at least you remember this. We found out there was four or five people living in the same apartment, man and woman, and they were constantly coming to us for help for their electric bill, for their rent, for their utility bills, for groceries. And we found out that all four or five of them living in the same apartment were all getting a government check, and they were getting HUD, had their rent paid, and they were getting food stamp. And then they would come to us for help with their bills. I like helping people. Anybody knows me, I give and give and give and give, because that's what God tells us to do. But people like that, I do not feel sorry for them. Maybe God's already judging this country. And their priests fell by the sword. That means their preachers were no good. Maybe God really is already judging this nation. Now, you can find in this town a church and a preacher that will not tell you these things, because they want you to come back and put money in their offering plate. I want you to hear this because I love you. I decided that I would love you today and tell you in as nice a way as I can, God is already judging us. Just in case you think God's unfair, here's Israel's sin. This is all from one chapter. Stubborn and rebellious. Young people, teenagers, young people, you better obey your mama and obey your daddy and obey your grandma and your grandpa. You better. God will take you out one of these days. You will not listen to your mom and daddy. Guarantee you, you're headed for a federal prison one of these days. Say it! Say amen! Amen. Their heart was not aright and their spirit was not steadfast. You know what that means? They were praying to God one day and out committing adultery the next. They turned their back in the day of battle. They wanted, hey, listen, you've got sins to fight. God wants you to have the victory. And instead, you just decided to turn your back in the day of battle, and your enemies, your own sins, overcame you. You kept not the covenant, refusing to walk in God's law. You say, well, that Bible was written by men. Let me tell you what it says. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. Yes, it was penned by men, but it was the exact words that God sent down from heaven through the Holy Spirit, and they wrote them down. God Himself wrote the Ten Commandments, not Moses. Both times. God wrote them. So if you have a dispute, go to the boss. You won't walk in it. You'll continue to live how you're living, and it'll probably get worse over time. And then there will come a time when your heart and your mind have turned so far away from God, you will never come back. They forgot His works. Remember that meal you ate yesterday? Did you even bother to thank God for it? Remember the breakfast you had this morning? Remember that steak dinner you got at Texas Roadhouse? Did you even bother to give God thanks for it? Or did you just forget that God is the reason why you're alive today? They provoked God. They sinned in God's face and said, "My God is okay with my sin." All the while, it was done right in the face of Almighty God. They tempted God and spoke against Him. They continued in sin and believed not. They flattered God in the church service. "Amen, preacher, you preach that message, that's good. Wave your Bible in the air, shout hallelujah, say amen on Sunday." Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's like, who's God? Because you just do whatever you want to do. Flattered God and then lied to Him. Turned their back and tempted and limited God. God wanted to do so much more. They wouldn't have it. They turned back, dealt unfaithfully, like a deceitful bow. Verse 57 says, you know what that is? Think about what that means, a deceitful bow. You pull the arrow out. You've got your bow in your hand. And you go to put it up and you put it right on the mark. And you think, man, this thing is going to shoot dead on there. I'm pretty good at this. And you let that thing go, and all of a sudden, that thing turns left and doesn't even hit the target. That bow and that arrow lied to you. You have turned back. You've dealt unfaithfully with God, which means you don't believe, you won't believe what I just read to you. And you're just like a deceitful bow, and God cannot count on you. And then the high places and the images, and this is where I'm done right here. Well, preacher, me and God, we've got our own thing going. Yeah, I think that Bible's okay for some people. But me and God came to agreement that I can still live how I'm living. Now you've got a God in your image that lets you lie, that lets you steal. Because after all, you're only stealing from work, and that company already has enough money. It'll let you commit adultery and fornication. You know what that is? Any kind of union, male and female, outside of a marital bond. Well, these two people love each other, so why shouldn't they be allowed? I believe God wants them to be together. That's your God. That's not this one. And this God is going to stand you in front of Him one of these days, and He's going to read to you both what you have done, and He's going to read from here where He said that it was wrong. Cubby, you're our resident police officer. Appreciate it. Don't get him too high and mighty. He's a Cubs fan. Just, of course, we ain't got much to brag about this year, amen? Let's say you pull up in somebody's house and you go in, somebody's in there doing something wrong, or you pulled somebody over, and you're pretty sure you're going to arrest them, you're going to write them a ticket. If they say to you, "What's the charges?" Have you ever said to them, "I don't like you"? Is that legal? What if you said, "Well, your family, my family's got bad blood"? Is that legal? Can you do that? What if you said, "Well, you're ugly. Look at you." I mean, there's decency still in America, but you can be ugly and go out in public. Is that legal? So if they say to you, "What's the charges?" I'm assuming that you're able to recite the penal code to them, the law, whatever subsection C, paragraph A, 182, This is what the law says. Am I right?
Yes.
He don't put people in cuffs and throw them in jail just because he don't like them. He does it according to what we as Missourians have already voted down. This is our law. This is what we want to keep us safe at night. And anybody who breaks this, we want them to pay the price and the penalty for it. And when God stands you in front of Him, this is His law. Who in here agrees that it's wrong to steal something from somebody that does not belong to you? Raise your hand. You know what you just did? You approved God's law. You said it's right. What if somebody wanted to steal your wife or your husband? Would that be wrong? You just consented to this book that it's right. And when you go stand before God, He's going to take everything that you've done, because you've got a rap sheet a mile long, and He's going to read every one of them and judge you according to this book only. So if your God doesn't match this, I'm telling you, you've got the wrong God. Wouldn't it be better, by the same God, wouldn't it be better to be forgiven of those crimes rather than saying, I don't think they're wrong to begin with? Your conscience will be cleared, people, I promise you. Tell you what I'm going to do. I want you to bow your head. Of course, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. Hang on. I'm not going to have a show of hands. I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm not going to try to call you out. I don't do that. Sometimes we don't even have an altar call. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to ask. I'm going to give you a minute. And in this minute, I'm going to give you time for your heart to respond to what I just said. Now, you can do one of several things. You can say to yourself, I don't believe any of that stuff, or, well, some of that stuff's okay, but that's not for me. And you can dismiss it. That's fine. I will still love you. This church will still love you, and God will still love you, believe it or not. Or you can say, you know, I didn't know the Bible said those things. And I've been assuming the wrong thing. And I have done things that are wrong. And if I were to stand before God right now and He were to read my rap sheet, I would be in big trouble. And then you can say in your heart to God in heaven, God, I have broken your laws. I admit it. The way I'm living my life right now, I now know is wrong. And I know I'm going to be judged for it. God, I am asking you to forgive me of all of my sins. And then take me from this day forward and show me how to live the right way. All the while you are having mercy on me as I learn to walk a different walk in life than what I have been doing. And I'll say this, there's a lot of people in this church that have done exactly that. They're not perfect. I know them. They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You ought to know me. But I and everybody, or most everybody in this church, has done exactly that. They've said, God, will you forgive my sins? And then will you help me live a completely different way and have mercy on me all the days of my life? Because I know that I'm headed for everlasting punishment. So I'm going to give you a minute to reason in your heart what you need to do. And I'm going to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today, and I thank you, God, for the message. I thank you, Lord, for laying the word on my heart. And Lord God, you know the people that are here. You know that those that are listening, and you know, Lord, those that are gathered together hearing me right now. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that your word would not go forth vain unto them, but God, it would be sent to them, and they would know and understand that, God, you've loved them every day of their life. And you love them today. But God, you're going to have to judge them, because if you don't, you're going to have to let everybody out of prison that you have put in. If you let one person go, you're going to have to let everybody else out. We must all appear before the judgment seat, your word says. And Father, I pray, dear God, that someone today would, out of an open and an honest heart, no matter what, where, who they are, that they would call unto you and say, God, I don't know how to live right, but I want to. And I would like for all of my sins and transgressions to be taken out of the way. And only God can do that through His Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, bless your word today and bless these people. Lord, Father, just go with us. Show us the way you would have us to go in our lives. And we'll be always careful to give you the praise and the glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, Amen.